Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
All right, we're in the book of Ephesians this morning. I'm about to trip and fall down. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is going to be a great blessing for you, I think, this morning. And before we read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, I just want to make one more announcement. The pennies are finally here. Melinda and the kids have moved here. They're staying in an Airbnb for till the end of the month out in North Clarksville until their house is ready to move into. And it's been a tough 3 or 4 months, not necessarily for Melinda and the kids, because her parents have been spoiling them rotten. It's been tough on Andrew to be all by himself, but they're all here now. And so y'all give a great welcome to all the Pennies today. God bless you all. And we'll have a big housewarming party, Melinda, once we get in out there at, what's that address again? East Haven, but what's the name of that street? Chagford. Spell that.
C-H-A-G-F-O-R-D.
Have y'all ever heard a street like that? Chag, C-H-A-G-F-O-R-D? Oh, no, never mind, okay. We're in Ephesians chapter. Anyways, we're so glad y'all are here, Melinda. And y'all, so before you leave today, say hi to Allison and Ainsley and John Michael. They'll get a kick out of that. Ephesians chapter 4. Could we stand one more time as we honor God's word? I know y'all have been up and down this morning, but you know what? We're an up and down type of church. Amen? And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I know there's a good Baptist shout in here somewhere. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, hearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I love to hear my brother David Fry pray. David, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Heavenly Father, Lord, just so thankful, Father, that you allowed us to come into your house again. We just ask you, Lord, for things that you never want.
Yes.
Please be seated. We've come to the major division in the book of Ephesians. You know, and every time in the Word of God, when you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself this question. What is therefore there for? And whenever you read therefore, it's pointing back to what's been previously said. And you know, we've been learning over the last few weeks just how rich we are in Christ Jesus. We are wealthy because we are co-heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. And so the Bible's been reminding us how rich we are, but now we're in this transition, in this second movement in the book of Ephesians. We are not learning just about how wealthy we are. We're going to talk more about our walk, about what our responsibilities are in Christ. You know, there is a certain set of responsibilities in Christian living that we all consistently ought to live up to. Did y'all get the coffee before you left the house this morning? all right. So the Holy Spirit is leading us and teaching us over these next few weeks about our walk. And we're going to learn again and be reminded again how to conduct ourselves as the children of God. Now, the word beseech there in verse 1 is a strong word. It goes even beyond pleading. It really is really an urgent, strong calling. What is the Word of God wanting us to do? To walk worthy of our calling. The Christian life is a walk. It's not a sprint. How many of you have learned that? It's a walk. I mean, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden over there in Genesis. And Enoch, it was said, walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. The Christian life is a walk. And so when you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. How many of y'all remember that old hymn? The word walk is used 5 times in these next 2 chapters. And so we're on a walk with Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm walking. Now some of y'all act like you're crawling. Say, I'm walking.
I'm walking.
All right. So Paul says, walk worthy of your calling. Now let me say this. You cannot be saved until the Holy Spirit calls you. He has to first call you, draw you, woo you, pull you in. That's what the Spirit of God does. It's a calling. And so if you're saved, if you're really born again, you are a called out one. You're the ecclesia. You're the called out ones of God. And so we've been called by God, and we need to be living a life that's consistent with our Christian calling. I said we need to be living a lifestyle that is consistent with our Christian calling. Can I get a witness in the house? All right, I want to make sure y'all are with me. So the emphasis on this passage, and God doesn't expect us to walk by ourselves. There's no such thing as this Lone Ranger Christianity that so many of us operate in. We're to walk together, how? In unity. Key verse there is in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we're to walk together in unity in order to live up to these responsibilities, and you can do that because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the word unity does not mean that we're all alike. Wouldn't it be boring if we all looked and acted like? I mean, we're all different, aren't we? And so, I mean, I've been Baptist just about all my life. Well, I guess most of my life. My mama took me to a Baptist church when I was in her womb, 9 months before I was ever born. And so today we've got all these different denominations, right? We've got all these, and they're all different. And yet when it comes to this thing called unity, I mean, who is it that I can have fellowship with as another believer? I'm so glad you asked that question. Look at Psalm 119. This is a great verse of Scripture. Psalm 119, just who is it that I can walk in unity with as the children of God? Psalm 119 and verse 63, powerful verse of Scripture. This is King David speaking for all the people of God, okay? Now listen to what he says. Who can I have fellowship? Who are we to be in unity with? Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all who fear you. Did you get that? And of those who keep your precepts. In other words, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, and you have His Spirit reigning and ruling in your life, and you're living for His praise and honor and glory, I don't care what label they've slapped on you, you are my brother, you are my sister. And we've got a lot of things in common because we're in Christ. That's the unity that He's speaking of. Amen? And so, y'all do know this. I hate to disappoint some of you longtime Baptists, but I'm one, there's only one church. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be, now, where's the Baptist church? Well, the Methodist church is down here. Well, the Pentecostals are way over here. No, we're all going to be together. We're in unity, right? Okay, So as long as y'all are with me, I'm in David's denomination, Psalm 119:63, all right? So how do we maintain this walk of unity? Since we're so different, since we're so distinct, since we're so diverse, how do we maintain this unity? Some of y'all love to get here late. Some of you love to get here early. Some of you are slow as Christmas. Some of you are fast as lightning. Some of you are educated to the hilt. Some of us are not. Some of you are blue collar, some of you are white collar. Some of us are white, some of us are black, some of us are Asian, some of us are Hispanic. So with all this diversity in the body of Christ, how do we maintain this unity? Well, I'm so glad you asked again. Look at the scriptures. We get the answers from scripture. God, the Lord gives us four graces or characteristics, either word you want to use there with this that are going to help us maintain this unity. Look at verse 2. With all, here's the first one, lowliness. Lowliness. That's humility. You know, all kinds of scripture. The Bible says God hates pride over there in Proverbs 6. In James, the Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the whom? To the humble. And so we're talking here about humility. And I just want to say, second mile, most disagreements in the church and probably in your family are because of the sin of pride. I'm speaking truth to somebody up in here today. Most of the time, our disagreements in the church have to do with the sin of pride. Well, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Hello? Am I right? I mean, I want to just give us a word of caution. Second Mile Church, we do not need to get too big for our britches. May God keep us humble, because it's humility that God moves in. And so in order to maintain unity, one of the keys is being humble with one another, being willing to maintain that unity through... Now, you girls don't respond just yet, okay, but God has given your man a big ego. Some of us have big egos. You notice I said us. Well, the reason God gave us egos is so we could provide and protect our families. But sometime that ego, hello, now you can speak, girls, amen, gets out of place. And so these alpha males like myself can kind of get prideful sometimes. But I let me just tell you that there's not only some alpha males in this church, there's some alpha females, right? And boy, you want, yeah. And so you see what I'm talking about? That causes us to bump heads from time to time. And so you be careful with this sin of pride, because it brings division and it'll cause us to fall. Lowliness, maintaining unity. Then there's the second one. Look at that with me. He says, and gentleness. That's the word meekness. Now, meekness kind of leaves the word picture of a horse. That's a powerful animal. But this horse has been broken. And now this horse is still powerful, but his power is under control. He's able to be reined in with those reins. Y'all with me? And so somebody who is meek is not weak. It's power under control. The Lord Jesus was meek, but he wasn't weak. You remember, he cleansed the temple one day. Righteous indignation. And so, having said that, let me say this. We need to get our tempers under control. We need to get reined in from time to time, right? And so, gentleness comes through this spirit of meekness that we are power. Some of y'all, we've been talking about power over the last few weeks, hadn't we? Well, we are powerful as the children of God, but that power is under control. Who has the reins of control? The Holy Spirit does. And he reins us in from time to time. I tell you what, he does that to me. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? All right. So that's the second one. Second characteristic that's going to help us maintain unity. Here's the third one. And man, this is just as important. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. What in the world does that mean? Well, I've got a really... it just means to suffer long. That's what that word means. The word literally means to endure without exploding. Have y'all ever seen on a hot August day a big dog laying out in the front yard underneath a big shade tree? Sometimes there'll be a little puppy jumping all over this big dog, you know, and yapping and yipping at it and just being a nuisance, really. And anytime that big dog wanted to, he could jump up and gobble up that little puppy, couldn't he? Well, that's this issue of long suffering, to be willing to suffer long. He just endures it. And sometimes there are seasons in our life when we have to endure. Aren't you thankful that God endures? Hello? 2 Peter 3:9 says that it is not God's will that any might perish, but that all should come to repentance. How does God do that? Through his long suffering. You read anywhere in the Bible, I dare you, read about any nation, any country, any people that are shedding innocent blood, killing children, killing babies, killing women. You read about any country in the Bible that's doing that, and you know what? They eventually suffer from the judgment of Almighty God. And at my study this morning, as I was praying about 5:30 this morning, God just kind of laid on my heart, you know, I am long-suffering. Just look at how many babies we've killed in this country. The Bible says God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And we've allowed 65 to 70 million unborn children to be slaughtered. You tell me God's not long-suffering? Why has God stayed his hand of judgment? I don't know that he has. I think we're beginning to see some of that. Y'all with me so far? So that's the third characteristic that's going to help us maintain. We've got to be willing to suffer long. And then fourthly, this thing called forbearance. Look at it with me. Verse 2, bearing with one another in love. I was out walking a few months ago in our neighborhood. Ricky, you'll like this. and I'm walking down, turning the corner at the end of the street, and there's a little lady that's coming out to her post office box. And I noticed there was a big dog out in the yard, and he was sitting there wagging his tail, you know. And so as I'm walking, I just spoke to my neighbor. I said, "Hello, how you doing?" And she was reaching into the mailbox. And as soon as I walked up to her, well, guess what that dog did? He looked at me, and he wasn't wagging his tail anymore. And he made a beeline for me. And I said, "Well, I'm fixing to have to kill me a dog, or he's going to kill me." And just about the time that dog got up there on me, the leash yanked him back. You talking about being grateful. That's the word here. That's the picture that's being played. And what is it that puts a leash? It's the love of Christ Jesus. When we want to lash out at somebody, the love of the Lord reins us in, pulls us back. Isn't that a good illustration? I thought it was, but anyways, that's what we're talking about here. Love is the leash that helps us to hold our tongues, to hold us back when we want to launch out in some kind of tight. You know, Simon Peter, just think about him. You know, Billy, he had a gift for rubbing people the wrong way. But once the Holy Spirit took up residence in Simon Peter's life, he wrote 2 books on love. That's God, you see. He's able to hold us back and to keep us where we need to be to maintain this walk of unity. Now, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I would have flip-flopped verses 4 through 6 and 1 through 3 because they're talking about obtaining unity. Holy Spirit's talking about obtaining unity in verses 4 through 6. Obtaining unity. Why would you put obtaining unity before maintaining unity? You know, you can't. What good would it do to maintain something if you haven't first obtained it? Well, I think I got my answer. The word one is mentioned 7 times in verses 4 through 6. And each time one is mentioned, it tells us how to obtain, first of all, this unity. And of course, the word unity means to be in one. We learned back in January, February, March, and April how to study your Bible. And one of the things that you look for are repeated words. Whenever you see repeated words, the Spirit of God's trying to get something through to you. And the word one here is mentioned seven times. And it is through these seven fundamentals of faith that we learn how to obtain unity in the first place. So let's look at those. Are y'all ready? Somebody's going to shout. Verse 4, there is one, what's the next word? Body. One body. We are the body of Christ. He is the head, we're the body. In order to maintain unity, you first got to get in the body. And by the way, I'm looking at y'all, what a beautiful body the Lord has. Isn't that wonderful? We are the body of Christ Jesus. This magical, wonderful, mystical thing called the body. And then there's not only one body to obtain unity, there's one spirit. Did you catch that? He says there in verse 4, one body and one spirit. What breath is to the body, spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to the believer. We have one spirit living within us. When God saves you, after he calls you and you repent of your sin and you trust Christ, the Spirit of God comes in to live within you, never to leave again. One Spirit. In order to obtain unity, you got to be in the Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit of the Lord, you've got this thing called unity. And then one hope. Look at this. One Lord. One hope, verse 4, of your calling. Brothers and sisters, our hope is in Christ Jesus. He is our hope. My hope is not in my kids. My hope is not even in my dear spouse. My hope is in the Lord. And I wish I had a better vocabulary to tell you how I'm feeling about that. But I'll just choose that old song, Andrew. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and righteousness. He is our hope. He is our everything. Place your hope in Christ. Isn't that a good word for us during these days of COVID and division? All right. And then there's one Lord. He says there in verse 5, one Lord. There's only one Lord, and his name is not Confucius. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. His name is Jesus. One Lord. We have one Lord, one master, one boss, one whatever you want to call that. He's numero uno. He's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. And if he's Lord, he is able not only to help us obtain unity, but maintain the unity. Isn't that a good word for us? And then one faith. One faith. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Woo! One faith. One faith. Well, yes, we have an exclusive faith. It's narrow. It's entitled. Yeah, it is. But I want to tell you, there is one faith and one Lord. And then he says that. Now, I didn't come up with this. For my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, we can still have unity, but there's only one baptism. One baptism. He's the one that said that. He said, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You see, when you are saved after God's called you and you've repented of your sin, there's one baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ and takes up residence in our life. Amen. One baptism. Now, there's a lot of gifts God gives to his people, and we're going to talk about some of those next week. The wonderful domata, the gifts that God gives to his church. And then there's the wonderful sign gifts, the charismata. And I still believe that God gifts people with different things and different abilities and talents and gifts and skills. But there's one baptism. And then there's one God and Father. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'm Paul Southern, you know it? Y'all. When you're praying, our Father, our Father, you are praying to the one Father, our Father. Doesn't that speak of unity? So truly, we are one in the bond of love. And I want us to kind of land this plane this morning on the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is not "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the model prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is over in John 17. If you've got a Bible this morning, I want you to turn to John 17 because Jesus tells us how important unity is. John 17 and verse 20. And we'll close with this. John 17 and verse 20. "I do not pray." Now these are the words of Jesus. This is his prayer as he heads to the cross. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's you. "Listen, that they all may be" what? "One. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." You see how important it is to obtain and maintain this unity? So that the world might know that Jesus came, that we might be one. "And the glory," verse 22, "and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me," that's the second time he said that, "and have loved them as you have loved me." It is the prayer of the Lord Jesus that we would maintain this unity. We have so much in common. You know what it is that we have in common? It's Jesus. That's who we've got in common. And so, my brothers and I sent out a mass text to my preaching and pastor brothers this morning early. And I said, "Guys, I'm preaching on maintaining the unity this morning, and I just want to tell you how grateful I am that all you pastors and all you preachers out there and all you ministers, we have this wonderful thing called unity among us, and I'm so grateful for it." And boom, 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 like, love, heart. There's nothing like unity. And Jesus wants us to be one, even as he and the Father are one, so that everyone will know that the Father sent the Son. Isn't that great? Father, seal this truth to our hearts this morning. Help us to maintain this unity. We know who's after us. Old devil would love to divide us and conquer. He'd love to sow those seeds of division. But God, greater is he. Greater is he, that's you, that is in us, than he that is in this world. And so, Lord, as we go forward from this place today, help us to go as one. One mindset, one accord, one lifestyle, that we might walk worthy of this calling. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar's open. If you want to come pray, you're welcome to come do that. You can pray there in the seat. You've got a decision to make, I'd love to help you make it. Be glad to talk with you. Whatever you need to do, let's all stand and sing. You respond to the word however God leads you today.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.